Out the 10 most influential men in history, no doubt for us as Christians, Moses would be on that great list. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, we find that Moses is brought to Egypt's princess, and Moses becomes her son. And becoming her son, he becomes heir to this great kingdom. To me, that's fascinating. This is not the first time I've preached on Moses. It's not the first time I've talked about this idea of choices that Moses made. And if I'm allowed to live long enough, I'm sure down the road I'll be talking about Moses and the great, wonderful decision that Moses made in his life to flee all the physical things of this earth and serve God with all his heart. Brethren, that's my hope and desire for you as a child of God. That you will give all to God. That you'll serve him with every ounce of energy and ability that you have. That you won't allow the allurements of this world to distract you or keep you from being who God wants you to be in the fullest sense of that. And that if you are not a child of God, that something will be said or done with the example of Moses tonight to make you and convince you that tonight is the night that you put on Christ. I hope and pray that of you today as we go through this lesson pertaining to Moses and the great choice that Moses made in turning from the physical things of this earth. One might say, why a lesson like this? Well, it's like all of us talked this past week and constructed all the songs and the readings, and it just seems like we're all on the same line of understanding and questioning this past week and today. When we think about whom we are going to serve, it is a challenge. For one, as I mentioned, that's not a child of God, it's a challenge for them because they realize after they count the cost that they now serve the great king. And that's difficult. It's difficult for many reasons. We have to turn our back completely on this world. All the different things that we serve, Brother Todd talked about the physical idols that they erected and made. And with the same wood, they would burn and toast loaves. And yet they would carve these images and worship them. And I like the word that Todd uses, the lunacy of that. Right? But we're no different. We might not have carved images, but boy, we serve a lot of different idols today, don't we? We erect a lot of things that come and interfere with our walk with God. And so, again, I hope that Moses serves an example for you today to turn your back on this world. As I mentioned, floating down that river in that little basket, he is found, and he goes from very humble means to a very powerful position. But yet we have this recorded for us. Why? What's the significance in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 23 through verse 29 for us today? Is it not good enough for it just to be in the Old Testament? Why is it mentioned again in the New Testament? Well, I think for many of the reasons that we have already said this evening. And so study with me the life of Moses for a few moments this evening that it might encourage you to step out and to be comfortable being different than the rest of this world. And sadly, very different than a lot of other Christians on this side of eternity as well. In verse 24, it says this in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of a Pharaoh's daughter. I want to look at that for just a second, because in that we see Moses decided to reject something. Most of us are pretty familiar with rejecting something. Young ladies, you might have said no to somebody that's asked you to marry them. And you might have been offered a job and you've rejected that. And when we talk about the idea of rejecting, we're turning our back on that. In a sense, when we become a child of God, we are turning our back on the world. We are rejecting the world. We're saying, no, it's not for me. And that's exactly what Moses did. When he became of age, he rejected. What did he reject? Very simply, I think all of us understand, he would have rejected all the glories that came with his position, the honor that would have come from this position. No doubt at this point in his life, as we study in the Old Testament, there would have been people that would have bowed down to him. The position, the power, the prestige that this position would hold, the dignity of being this great prince. But he turns his back on it. Verse 25 would teach us, instead of being part of this royal court, the pleasures that it would offer, all the different delicacies that he would be able to enjoy, the power that he would be able to wield. In verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I like that. All those passing pleasures, they were temporary. And one thing that Moses understood that we fail to appreciate, that these pleasures that Moses turned his back on, he realized that they were temporary. Do we? The job position you hold, you know what's temporary? You might have advancements. They might move you down. They might fire you. And although you hold a tremendous position in your company, that can end tomorrow. The pleasures of having a beautiful wife, I am very blessed. It can all end tomorrow. All the things that we enjoy today can end without any notice at all to us because they're all passing pleasures. And Moses understood that. He chose to suffer and suffer temporary so that he could experience joys in eternity. You see, a lot of us have our priorities backwards. We love the temporary pleasures of this earth. It appeals to our flesh and it for a moment it fills us up, but then it's gone. That's one of the great things that I understand about Moses and his decision. He understood how things were temporary and rejected it. And we too need to reject the notion of all the temporary things that surround us on this side of eternity. We think about Moses as well and the power of money that he would have been able to enjoy. Did you catch that in verse 26? Esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. You see, there's a lot in this text that teaches us about the comfortableness of where Moses was at. To have all the riches at this time. The power and the riches, for many of us, that turns us, doesn't it? It warps our thinking. It changes us from within. We get a little bit of power, and what do we say? For some people, it goes where? Right to their head. It changes them. One of the most humblest men, given some power and a little bit of importance, he changes. His heart changes. His mind changes. His attitude changes. But not Moses. You see, he rejected it all. There's a great lesson in that for us today, too. Grow where you're planted. Be comfortable where you're at. And don't be tricked into thinking that life's all about what you can grab, because it's not. Reject it. Reject that notion. We also understand, looking at this text in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25... that Moses determined to accept something. I remember preaching on this thought some time ago and thinking as I was going through it, what more could I say to emphasize this fact here in Moses' life? Look in verse 25. There's an interesting point that I want to make here. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I remember one time Googling the average choices that somebody has to make in a day's time. It's staggering. We make so many choices and we don't even think about the choices we're making in a day. Where to turn left, where to turn right. By the time we get to work, we've already made a million choices in our life. Do we shower? Don't we shower? Do we brush our teeth? We're running late. Do we floss? Do we have enough time? It's staggering when you stop and think about all the choices you make before you even get to work, let alone the whole day. We make so many choices. And as I look at this, Moses publicly, not privately, the things that we struggle with before we get to work, but publicly, he chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Did you catch that? You see, this hard decision that Moses had to make wasn't a decision that was made in a back room in the comfort of solidarity between him and God. The choice that he made affected all of those around him, and the choice that he made was seen by everybody. Now think for just a moment. You're in this day and time, and you once humbled yourself and bowed before Moses as he would approach you. Now he's standing beside you. Now think about that for just a second. He accepted that. That was his lot. He rejected all that the pleasures of this earth had for him, and he accepted his lot. He identified publicly with the people of God. These people, as you look at Exodus chapter 1, if you're taking notes, write this down and go back and read this tonight. Exodus chapter 1 and verses 13 through 14, they were enslaved and they were despised people. That's where they're at. Now we really begin to grasp the magnitude of the decision that Moses made. Once a powerful position, all that the kingdom offered him was his. He inherited and would inherit this lineage, this line. Life was perfect. But yet he chose to turn his back on that and identify with a people who were despised and enslaved. Would that be a choice that you made? Would you comfortably make that decision? Well, we might say, well, if we were forced to, we would. And we might brazenly, comfortably shake our head, yes, that would be me. But I'm not so sure that that would be me confidently shaking my head. To have comfort and ease, and now to become just like the others, enslaved, despised, rejected. You see, Moses could have been associated with rulers and statesmen and rich people, but yet he turned his back on that. And he accepted that. I don't know how many people I've talked to. They get tied up in the stock market. They lose everything. And they're in a pitiful state, a far less of a state than they were before. And they never accept that. And it eats them up. It destroys them. They're consumed with what they've lost, and they never truly move on. That wasn't Moses, and there's a valuable lesson in this for us today. Accept where you're at. You make a choice, be comfortable with it. And if you suffer for righteousness' sake for it, be okay with that. Accept it. Don't allow what's happening to you today to ruin what God can accomplish in you today and tomorrow and every day that you're on this side of eternity. He accepted it. No longer was he going to sit with rulers and statesmen and rich people feasting upon the fatness of the earth. That wasn't going to be his lot anymore, and he was okay with it. But instead, he chose. God didn't make him. But he chose God's people. There's a powerful example in that for us today. I've come to appreciate that my closest friends on this side of eternity are found in the family of God. Now, like you, I'm sure that we could buddy up with people that have more influence and more power and greater wealth than what we find in God's kingdom as far as this earth is described. I'm sure that many of you, with your abilities, could excel very quickly through the ranks if God was not in the picture for you. But I'm glad God is. And I'm glad that you serve Him with all your heart. And I'm grateful for the service that you offer for God. And I am grateful that we have this permanent relationship that we call brother and sister in Christ. Moses accepted his lot. I like what verse 27 teaches us about Moses as well. In the latter part of this verse, I want to begin with the first part of it, but I will emphasize the latter part of it. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Here it is. For he endured as seeing him who was invisible. You see, Moses persevered. Was it easy for him to turn his back on all that riches, all those riches? No. If it was, we wouldn't have this word here, persevere. It was difficult. It was hard. And he sets the example for us today. It will be difficult and hard for us to reject what the world has to offer and accept our lot. I often say this when speaking about the life of a Christian. It's not easy being green. And we all chuckle, but we know exactly what that means, right? I hope we understand what that means. I hope that we felt it in our life. If we call ourselves a Christian, it will cost us. And if it's not cost us, maybe we need to look at our life and see how we're living our life. And if we're living our life in accordance with God's will, hold on, because that challenge and that difficulty is around the corner, and accept it when it comes. Be comfortable with being a child of God. I think also the timing of his choice is significant and interesting as well. You see, when we look at the storyline of Moses, this didn't unfold when he was immature and experienced as a young child. That's not when this choice was made. I look at my children, I think back when I was young, I look at some of your children, they sometimes make bonehead decisions, don't they? And we shake our heads and we wonder, are they going to live through it? Are they going to make it to adulthood? You see, this great and wonderful decision that was made was not made with a young, immature, inexperienced child. But it was also not made, this decision wasn't made in the decline of his old age when there was nothing else for him to do but to sit and serve God. You see, this decision was made in the prime of his life. Full possession of strength and wisdom and vigor, as well as all his faculties. And I think that's impressive to me. Did you catch in verse 24? By faith, Moses, when he became of age. Now, one might ask the question, what age was that? I don't know. I don't know the exact age if we're just looking here in this text in Hebrews. But he wasn't young and he wasn't old. He was in the prime of his life. Why note that? What's significant about that? What is interesting about that? There is really one point that I want to make with this, and that is I often think about my life and all the distractions. One might look at me and say, Neil, you're past the prime of your life. I feel like I'm in the prime of my life. And there's a lot of distractions that go on, and I don't always make the right decision, but I want to believe I'm a little smarter than I was when I was 17. And if the good Lord allows me, I hope to be here another 30 or 40 years, helping my children along and seeing my grandchildren. But you know what? I'm not promised that. And neither are you. And so I will say, although we have the ideal listed for us here, a man who is in the prime of his life and has wisdom and all of the different things that some of us have had and lost or some of us have not yet experienced, I want you to understand that Moses still serves as an example for us to serve God with all our hearts, whether young or old. We all face our challenges. We all have our hardships. But I hope as we look at Moses, we see a man who was comfortable with rejecting the things of this life, accepting his lot with the age that he was at. And so can you. I think in order for us to be comfortable with all of that, we have to find out what motivated him in making this choice, in choosing the direction that he would go in. He turned his back on everything that we would love to enjoy and experience on this earth, gave it all up, and had nothing. What motivated him? That's what I like about this text, because it reveals it to us. Look at verse 27. Here we begin to understand the motivation behind his choice. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Here we go. One might ask, why in the world would Moses make this choice? It doesn't make any sense. Why not serve in that capacity with the power that you had and help make their life easier? I could be more influential and more helpful to God and His people if I was in this position of power. But you see, that's not the motivation and thinking that he was working with. Did you catch this? Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. What are we to glean from that? You see, the unseen God, at this age in his life, dominated Moses' life. When faced with this decision, really, he had no other decision but to choose what he chose. God was so good to him that the only logical conclusion and choice that he could make was to turn his back on everything this world offered and serve him who was invisible. And I will tell you tonight with much surety, brother or sister in Christ, that is the only logical conclusion that you could come to as well. Matthew chapter 22. I think you remember last year us talking about this verse quite a bit. And I talked about it quite a bit before we launched into that year and the series of lessons. I will continue to bring this verse up as long as I'm here at Greenwood. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, and Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." That's where Moses was at. And it's where we need to be. And however we get ourselves there, that's what we need to do. You see, he loved God's people. I do as well. I love God's people. I've said this before. God's people are some of the greatest encouragement for me and also some of the greatest disappointments for me. Because I know I've disappointed some of you. But I love God's people. I hope that someday we rest on the other side, all of us together. I love God's people. I love God's word. I love sharing it. But in verse 25, that's exactly what we see with Moses' choice. Did you catch it? Choosing rather to suffer with the people of God. I tell you, we really need to get comfortable with each other and be comfortable spending time with each other. I love spending time with my family. It's some of the greatest time I have. But I can't spend all my time with my family and neglect my family. And I hope that you appreciate that too. You see, Moses could have had all the goodness that this life offered, but he gave it up to be with who? The people of God. One's often asked me, why do you think the church spread so quickly in Acts? I believe it's because the people were comfortable being with each other. They loved. They looked for opportunities to be with each other. I'm not sure that that could summarize us up today. This world allows us to become so distracted. We get our kids involved in so many different sports. I know. I'm there. Our work keeps us bogged down. Family life keeps us bogged down. And before too long, Sunday and Wednesday roll around, and that's the only time we see each other. You see, we're blessed, aren't we? Blessed to be up and moving around. Boy, we love moving around. But we can't neglect our family. And there's a powerful lesson in this for me. It's that. Moses had it all, but he turned his back on it all to make God's people a priority. So do we. You see, this hope of this reward was real to him. Look at verse 26 in the latter part of that verse again. It says in the first part of it, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. I've often said this, and I will continue to say this. What motivates you for living the life that you live as a Christian? And we often say this, the reward, and we would be exactly right. It's okay to have that as a motivating factor. I long to leave this side of the earth and be with some of the brethren that have gone on. I long for that. And I hope you do as well. But we've got brethren here and now. Let's build those relationships. Let's cement those relationships. Let's make these relationships a priority like Moses did. So very quickly, the last two slides here tonight. Did Moses make the wise choice? It's a rhetorical question, right? How could you sit there tonight and say, no, he didn't? We'd have to go right back to the start of the lesson again. We all know the answer to that. Absolutely, he made the wise choice. The carnal mind, though, says that Moses was crazy. Why would he do that? You see, the person that looks through God's eyes, he says, oh, this was the wise decision. And believers can only see this as the only decision. Again, we're not going to go much outside of our text tonight, but we've looked at one. Here's one other reference that we'll look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's turn over there tonight and look at that verse just very quickly. It says there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. And then here it is, verse 18. Here's the kicker verse. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul tried to convey this to the Christian brethren at Corinth, who were riddled with sin. But they were a group trying to get themselves right with the Almighty, trying to serve God with all their heart, trying to love each other as they ought to. You see, true believers see that there's only one way to serve God, and that is with all their heart. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why would Jesus say that? You see, each one of us is important and should be important to each other. Yes, we'll have our favorites on this side of eternity, people we like to spend time with more than another. But if we are children of God, then we are joint heirs. We are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was a motivating factor for Moses. He looked for something far greater than this earth. There was only one choice to be made, and that was to be with God's people. Very quickly, I want to close with this slide and the next one. I want to close very quickly, and I hope that this lesson has served as an encouragement to you to be okay with turning your back on the things of this earth. Wrong choices in this life will bring us pleasure here and now. We cannot deny that fact. If it didn't bring us pleasure, then we wouldn't make those decisions, would we? If God said, don't do it, and we did it, and it hurt us every time we did it, would we continue to do it? No. But wrong decisions appeal to our flesh. They are pleasant for a period of time. They fulfill this, in our minds, this void that we have. But it's only temporary. And we might suffer for them here and now. But rest assured, if we make wrong decisions and they go unrepented of, we will suffer at judgment. That's the sobering reality of a wrong choice. One might say, well, what does one choice really matter in the grand scheme of things? One choice matters greatly. A wrong decision made in the darkness of a car or a room with another individual of the opposite sex will affect you in eternity if unrepented of. A wrong decision in business where you take advantage of somebody. A wrong decision when you steal or you lie to somebody will affect you in eternity if not repented of. You see, one choice can cost us dearly. Think about Moses. He's told to speak to a rock, and what did he do? Did it cost him? Will it cost you? Rest assured, it will cost you. When we are in eternity with unrepented sin, there will not be a moment that goes by that you will not regret the decision, the choice that you made to do what you did. Whatever that might be, if you've not repented of it. One bad decision can keep us out of eternity. I close with this slide here. There are some costs with making the right decision. It can cost us friends. The right decision will probably cost us money, will probably cost us some power, like what we talked about with the life of Moses. Perhaps we might suffer persecution, perhaps even the loss of some of the possessions that we've worked so hard to attain on this side of eternity. You see, having the right attitude towards God could cost us, but we need to accept that. That's what we studied about. It's what we talked about with the life of Moses. We need to accept that as a child of God. But also, we can enjoy unspeakable great gain. Brother Ben, what will heaven truly be like?
We don't know.
Brother Todd, if we experience eternity and we get to heaven, who will be there?
The saved?
Who else?
No one else?
God, right? To be in His presence for all eternity? Right? I think about that, and I don't know what heaven will be exactly like. Brother Greg, what will our bodies be like? That's all we know. Are you okay with that? I am. And you need to be as well. I hope that we understand and appreciate what Moses chose and what he did with his life. And my hope and prayer is that all of us, as Brother Todd mentioned just a second ago, the only people that will be in heaven are the saved. That seems narrow. It seems rough, but it's not. God sent His Son to this earth to die to give hope to the lost. And His Son left this earth to go and prepare a place, a glorious place, for those that would follow Him. You see, heaven, as I mentioned before, is a prepared place for who? Prepared people. Are you prepared tonight? Are you prepared to make the choice that Moses made with his life? To turn your back on the things of this earth and serve God with all your heart? I hope and pray that that is you. And maybe you're ready to make your request be made known tonight by becoming obedient to God's will. Maybe you've never been baptized for the remission of sins. I will assure you tonight that becoming a child of God will be the greatest decision that you will ever make. Far above the marriage partner that you pick, how many children you plan to have, the job that you have, the decision to become a child of God will be the greatest decision that you make on this side of eternity. And we hope and pray that you'll choose Him tonight. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Are you willing to confess that? And are you willing to turn completely, as we talked about tonight, like Moses, turn and put your back to the pleasures of this world and serve God with all your heart? If that's you, why not move tonight? Make the great confession before this group of Christians here tonight. Have your sins washed clean and free from you, that you might stand justified in the presence of God tonight. Right now. And if you are here and you are a Christian, as we witnessed this morning, and there's something that you want to bring before the group, we hope that you'll do that. But I hope first you understand that that is something you take to God. I think sometimes we misunderstand what coming forward is. I'm not praying that you have forgiveness. You've already hopefully fixed that with your God. You're coming forward to acknowledge some shortness in your life. You've brought, as far as the world is viewed, you've brought consequences against this group. People look at us, and so you want to bring that before the group. You want to correct any questions with the group here tonight. We are ready and willing to pray with you. But the decision and the choice is yours. Who will you choose tonight? Together as we stand, let's examine ourselves, help you in a way, raise your hand, or come to the front.